It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger Nest.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mads.
Awesome.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on a Tuesday. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, you. Good, you.
Peachy, thank you. Once again, from our Town Fair Tire Studios on 98.5 on your FM dial, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Maz, what did you just ask me off the air? Do you mind if I bring that to the air? What did you just ask me?
I said, I wonder what Danny Ainge is doing right about now.
What do you think Danny Ainge is doing?
It's a good question. I don't know, because you know he's just not sitting around with his thumb in his ear. Like, he's not doing that.
You wonder what the Celtics are up to this week?
Yes, I do wonder what the Celtics are up to this week. Because, again, they have collateral if they want to make a deal. Now, their own draft pick this year isn't worth all that much. What is it again, like 27?
27.
Okay, so it's way down there. But beyond that, see, I believe that the Celtics want to move up in the draft. I have felt that all along because I think that they were hoping that they would be up in this draft this year, whether it was through the Philly deal or originally the Brooklyn deal. They got your Kyrie, blah, 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 blah. To me, they wanted to be in this draft. Now, I still think Ainge is maneuvering to somehow get up there. And in this draft, I think if you can get into, to me, the line is like right around number six.
Wow. So you're talking about like really moving up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you might be able to say seven or eight. You know, to me, it's about six. But I think they want to, if they can, I think they want to get up high. And look, knowing Ainge, there's no way he's just taking a hands-off approach. There's no way. He's just too, I don't think he is capable of not tinkering. Does that make sense?
Of course.
He's always tinkering. Always, always, always. And I think he still has it in his mind to do something quote-unquote big. Whether that's Anthony Davis or another high draft pick, or I think they want to get up there. I do. I think they want to get up there, and I think he's going to try. That's what I believe.
Well, we actually have more information on this. Jimmy Stewart, I know how you feel, but I'll ask you anyway for the benefit of the people. Do you co-sign on Maz's take?
I believe the Celtics are trying to get into the top five of this year's draft, and I believe they have a target. I said this a few weeks ago. It's an international kid. Maz, you're better with the pronunciation than I am.
Luka Doncic. Six eight, you know, again.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
No, he's a wing player. He's a 6'8 wing player who was like just the MVP of some European league that I didn't even really read in because I don't give a rat's ass. But beyond that, you know, it's a draft stocked with big men and Doncic. So a lot of people believe the first six picks of the draft are going to be Doncic, who's 6'8, and five guys who are all big from 6'10 to 7'1.
And Doncic has been slipping. According to some people, right, Jimmy?
Yep. Yes, there seems to be a great divide amongst NBA people that I talk to and I listen to about what this player actually is. So if Danny likes this kid, based on his recent draft history, and they can get up there in the top five to get him, go for it.
Okay, how do they get to the top five? That's really what I'm concerned with. If they like this kid and want to draft this kid, like, I'll give it to him. Never heard of him. You know, as usual, I don't even hear the American college kids. Never mind Euros. who, you know, I'm going to have to watch him work out against a chair or something? Is the league he plays in, is there a divider between them and the bar mitzvah in the next cafeteria, or is he actually playing in arenas?
No, I think there's a divider.
Because, yeah. Who was this? The last guy that the Green Teamers told me about, was it Zizic?
No. Dragon Bender.
Yeah, Bender. Right. All the highlights I saw, there was a divider between his gymnasium and the banquet that was going on next door.
Yeah.
In Tel Aviv in the Superliga. So I'm like, you know, but I'll take your word for it. Bender, Doncic, whatever. I'll take your word for it. I'm not going to second guess it. I don't care. What does it take to get up there from 27 to 5? What are you trading, Jimmy, and with who to get from 27 to 5?
So I'm guessing on this one, but you're looking at Terry Rozier. You're looking at Marcus Morris. You're looking at all the draft capital that you have in your future. And if Danny Ainge loves a player like he loved Justice Winslow a few years ago, in which he offered 6 first-round draft picks for him, if Danny loves this guy, he'll offer all of his future draft capital for him.
So
something like that,
so,
though.
Rozier, Marcus Morris, and the Sacramento pick and all their good picks going forward.
If he believes in this guy, he'll do it, I think. My opinion.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Because you're not giving away anything of real substance.
Yeah, so why would a team be that stupid?
Hold on. You are. That Sacramento pick could be a number 2 pick.
Sure.
However, it could be a 2 pick in a bad draft. And if Danny really loves the kid, I'll take his word for it, right? Like, I mean, and I'm sure he and his son have looked out to next year and what's next year. And even if they are in the top 5, is there any player, and again, if this is their thinking, if there's no player that projects to be what this kid is, then go get him.
As of a month ago, I felt like the Celtics thought that this draft was better than next year's draft. So just keep that in mind.
And that's what the consensus is, right?
I don't think there's any question this draft is better than next year's draft. Everyone I've talked to has told me that. And when I say talk to, I'm not talking about Danny from Quincy. Okay, I actually call people in the basketball world and ask questions.
Dakota's not one of your sources?
No, he's not. No. He's far down on my list. He's about 11th or 12th.
So I find that fascinating.
Feels low.
When Jimmy Stewart believes it, you know, it gets my attention. And so, Jimmy, is it just for Doncic? Is it just for that player?
That's what I believe. There was something about 6 weeks ago where I thought they were in on Michael Porter Jr. I'm not sure if that's still there, but I think this international kid is the guy that they want.
Okay. See, so the one thing I will say is that based on my experience with the Celtics, although Jimmy's info is always usually pretty good, but they run smoke screens so that you don't know what they're going to do.
Right.
I mean, the you'll hear a name connected to them. Like 2 weeks ago, it was Mo Bamba. Remember that? So I just think that a lot of this stuff pops up, and to me, nobody ever knows really the guy they want.
I'll just tell you, they don't run interference with Jimmy.
No, that's what I said.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. You did. You did say that. So, like, I don't know, maybe they start, maybe they should. Jimmy's track record. Right, like they.
Why I'm a hack radio producer who believes me.
Well, I do.
Again, if you stack up your batting average is pretty good, batting average. So if you want to throw people off, maybe give it to Stu, lead him in the wrong direction because Stu has nailed a bunch of them. So that's on the table. And what about Kawhi Leonard? There's people out there who think you're still the favorite. You're the favorite for Kawhi Leonard. Chris Sheridan covers the league forever. Handicapper basketball guy has you as the odds-on favorite. Celtics plus 200 to land Kawhi Leonard. He says there's no way Popovich would trade him in the West. There's no way Popovich would take care of him and set up another super team with the Lakers. He's going east. So he's got the Celtics plus 200 for Kawhi Leonard, has the Sixers plus 300 for Kawhi Leonard, has the Spurs to retain him plus 500, and then he does have some Western Conference team as long shots, Lakers, Suns, Clippers. The field is plus 150. Here's what he writes about Boston, why Boston's the odds-on favorite. He says, it ain't easy making a trade with Danny Ainge because he likes adding carcasses to his kill list. See Billy King, that was the Garnett trade. See Brian Colangelo, that's the Fultz trade. He says salary cap-wise, Kawhi Leonard to the Celtics is difficult because, and unless Kyrie Irving is going out. So I butchered that. Salary cap-wise, this deal is difficult to make unless Kyrie Irving is going out. But the fact that Kyrie is not committing to an extension and is talking up the idea of going to the Knicks as a free agent is impacting his career locale sustainability in Boston. Well, that's some parsing of some words, huh?
Big time.
It's impacting his career locale sustainability in Boston. Put another Put in other words,
he doesn't want to stay.
If he doesn't want to stay, why are the Celtics going to keep him?
Exactly.
Nobody wants a rental, but Popovich is tight with people who are tight with Mike Krzyzewski, Kyrie's college coach, and that counts for something. If Ainge does not want to let Irving go, let's just say that Terry Rozier showed his mettle in the postseason and the Spurs have a mild point guard issue. You may recall that Derek White logged minutes for the Spurs in the first round against Golden State. If you can get Kawhi Leonard for Terry Rozier, that is, you know, build the statue of Ainge, whether he wins another championship or not. Like, that would be ridiculous.
Sure would, no question about it.
Doesn't have to take Jaylen Brown? Doesn't it have to take Kyrie Irving? Doesn't it have to take something more than Terry Rozier?
You would think so. And again, the hard part is to gauge in that league sometimes is these guys on one-year deals, because you just don't end up giving a ton up to get them. I mean, so look, in the case of Kyrie, he had 2 years left. And when you really look at what they gave up to get him, what the Celtics gave up, it wasn't a ton.
Would you trade Kyrie for Kawhi Leonard?
Only if Kyrie was, you know, you were fairly certain you could not re-sign him.
I'd do it without it.
I wouldn't. Kyrie to me is I'd put a premium on the offensive end. I'm not. The Celtics might do it. They value that kind of guy more. Like, they love the positional versatility.
3 and D, baby.
All of it. And then, you know, being able to switch out all the time and never have any issues on both ends of the floor. Like, they love that. But to me, at the end of the game, you know, 99-98, you get the ball, you're down one, Kyrie's worth more.
Would you trade Kyrie for Kawhi Leonard? All things being equal. Look, if one's more of a flight risk than the other, then that changes it.
Sure.
Like, if Kyrie Irving says, I'll sign, and you don't know about Kawhi Leonard, then give me Kyrie Irving. And if just the opposite, if Kawhi Leonard gives you a wink and a nod, I want to be there long term, and Kyrie Irving is still playing this game, I don't know what I'm going to do, then give me Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
So, I mean, let's just keep that equal, right? All things being equal, they are both equal flight risks, meaning put whatever percentage you want on it. They're both for sure gone. They're both for sure staying. They're both 50-50. If the flight risks are exactly even, give me Kawhi Leonard over Kyrie Irving. And I'll be honest, this is a little personal.
See, I would take Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving, just on a personal level, bugs the crap out of me. He sort of bugs me.
Pseudo-intellectual?
Oh, every time he talks, I'm like, can I turn him off now? I don't want to keep listening to you. So that's just, and that's
minor. Well, he is one of these guys that talks like he wants you to know how smart he is.
I mean, and that's minor. He's not a bad guy. He's certainly no criminal or no team killer or anything like that. Like, so I don't want to go overboard like he's some sort of, you know, cretin. He's mildly annoying to me. Can I stop listening to you now? I don't like listening to you. So that's just a small thing way down the list.
Listen to that podcast he did with Simmons.
Oh,
half
brother.
The times you did between the two of them. It's like I told you, it's like listening to McAdam and Burt Breer in a conversation. The two of them, they suck the oxygen right out of the room.
Right. It's like a bad reference. They've seen an airplane where the people keep offing themselves when the guy sits next to them and keeps telling them stories. Like, that's me with Kyrie. Like, all right, I got it. Enough. I got it. Stop.
Oh, my gosh, it is.
Stop.
So, look, I lean Kyrie there because I told you, at the end of the game, I would take the ball in his hands over a lot of guys in that league, most guys in that league, because I think he can score, create his own shot, and make it.
Jimmy, do you have something on this particular issue?
No, the only thing I was going to correct from that writer is that there is a weak window here under the old NBA, this current NBA year, where you could get Kawhi Leonard for $13 million in cap space. So that's Morris, that's Rozier, and that's another $5 million to get Leonard, and then you can throw a bunch of draft picks to the Spurs if you wanted to get them,
so,
if you're the Celtics.
So you can do it money-wise, but...
without doing Kyrie Irving.
Right, but does that satisfy Greg Popovich?
Probably not, because I think the Suns are going to offer the number one pick overall, the Jackson kid who wouldn't play for you, and then whatever it takes to get filler out of this.
So look, I mean, the money, as we like to say, you can do on your own time. Like, that makes sense, Jimmy. But from a trade value standpoint, if Phoenix is offering that, or if he could get Jaylen Brown, or he could get, you know, whatever.
They're not moving Jaylen Brown in a deal for Kawhi Leonard.
Not happening.
Not happening. 100%.
Kyrie Irving?
Not 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I think Irving, again, based on the signability, Irving is more likely to be dealt than Jaylen Brown. For a guy who has 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah.
Right now, if Kawhi Leonard were signed for four more years, and, you know, he were on the table and wanted to come to Boston, I'd consider Jaylen Brown on that deal. In fact, I would do it. Like, and I don't know if they would. I think they would. But 1 year left, no way.
All right, let's do some NBA rumor mongering with you right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Most teams in the league have interest, and some started to register their interest yesterday. But Boston has the bevy of draft picks, young players, to be a factor with any star player available in the league. They called San Antonio at the trade deadline in February. San Antonio did not engage them in trade talks. I'm told that Boston is ready to get back into this if Leonard becomes available.
So there you go, Adrian Wojnarowski. Again, linking the Celtics to Kawhi Leonard. How far would you go? Would you rather give up Jaylen Brown in a draft pick, or would you rather give up Kyrie Irving? What would you rather do?
I mean, it all depends on Irving's signability. I mean, if Irving is, you know, you get the sense that you can't sign him, Irving. I'd rather give up Irving.
But if Irving's here long term, you'd rather give up Jaylen Brown in the pick?
Yes, absolutely.
Would you give up Jaylen Brown in the pick?
It feels like a lot for a guy on 1 year. One or the other, not both.
What if you had the assurance from Kawhi Leonard he's going to re-sign?
Yes. Then I'm in.
617-779-0985. And trading all the way up the board today? How about that? Trading all the way up the board.
So again, I think they'd have to, like, you know, they have to do that one in stages. I don't see how they get into the top five. They would have to flip it for, you know, flip a bunch of things to get to, like, number eight. And then flip another bunch of things to get to number six, you know, or five.
What did you say before, Jimmy? Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, and all the draft picks.
Essentially to get, like, under Maz's scenario, if they were to get to, you know, 8, 7, 6, somewhere in that range, and then flip up to 2, 3, or 4, that's something that they could do. But all of those assets going out, it might be a 3-team trade or a 4-team trade where you just got to stockpile things to move up the board.
Doncic, they want that kid.
That's what I believe.
See, I'm not convinced of that. But they want, I mean, if you can get into the top 5 or 6, you can get a good player in
the other name that I heard 6 weeks ago was Michael Porter Jr. So I think one of those two is the play for the Celtics.
Okay, your thoughts. Here's Steve in New Hampshire. Hi, Steve.
So last Friday, I was listening to an interview that Bill Simmons did with Kyrie Irving on his podcast. And what really frustrates me about Kyrie Irving in particular is that on that podcast interview, he basically goes on to say that the whole reason he wanted to leave Cleveland was that he just wanted to go to a place and play basketball. That according to Kyrie Irving, that's all he cares about is being on a team, being on the floor, and winning games. And to me, he has every opportunity to win a championship here in Boston. And the fact that he is coming forward and saying, oh, I'm not really sure about my future, blah, 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 tells me everything I need to know about Kyrie Irving and his future in Boston. So I'm with you, Felger. If it's a decision between Kyrie and Kawhi, I'm Kawhi 100%.
So I was going to say, could this guy's opinion on Kyrie change if a year from now Kyrie re-ups?
Of course. Yes, of course.
Right. So look to me, I don't know what's going on there, but I don't like the comments either. I'm worried about it.
Kyrie Irving might just be playing a game, a negotiating game, which is one thing. But that other thing that he points out, like, from what you've gathered from Kyrie Irving here in the last couple weeks or months or even this year, does he feel like he's just about basketball?
No.
Isn't he on a movie premiere tour right now? And didn't he just drop a single? Murray?
Yeah.
Didn't he just drop a single?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's part of the movie soundtrack.
Okay, so is this guy just about basketball?
No. No, but again, in that league, you're going to have a hard time finding a guy who is.
Granted. Absolutely. So he's more like those guys than just, you know, if he's trying to portray it that he's just all about basketball, would you please?
No, so what would irritate me, and maybe this is what the caller is saying, you get up from under LeBron's shadow, you ended up here, the team's good, and it's not peaked yet, and you're going to leave? So, like, is there any situation you're happy in? You are the star here. The team's good. It's your team. It's his team now. So where's the gray area? What, like, it's not enough? Like, that would irritate the crap out of me. Like, are you ever happy?
Dave in New Hampshire. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. I'm just talking about that Kings pick. I mean, I think we're looking at it as more value than it could possibly be. If the Kings are as bad as we think they're going to be next year and that pick ends up number one, you get Philly's pick instead, and you're looking at, like, 25 at best in that situation. So if the Kings pick is what gets us up into the top five of this year's draft or Kawhi or Anthony Davis, send it out in a heartbeat.
Okay,
so could be 5, could be 25.
Oh, so I hear you. There is risk with that Kings pick that they're so bad that they get number one overall, except they've changed the format next year. It's no longer 25% to get number one. I think it's
is it 10% or 14% or something like that? I think
it's more equally weighted among the three worst teams or something.
I think the three worst teams have the same percentage.
I think
now.
That's right.
Something like that. And it's no longer, it used to be the worst team at a 25% chance. Now it's lower. Now it's like 14%. So I don't know how you factor that in. Like, is there a risk with that? Again, Kings pick that they're first overall and you'll lose it altogether.
Sure. Yeah, sure there is. Again, that is why anyone... This is why I question whether or not the Celtics do have the artillery to get up into the top five or six this year.
Because you think other teams would look at it that way, too.
Yeah, of course. We've done this before where they get to the trade deadline and they have a lottery pick that nobody knows really where it's going to land and it doesn't have as much value as everyone thinks. And then now they were able to pull it off ultimately with Kyrie, but that was a unique circumstance because the player absolutely positively wanted out of there. And then... You know, they were able to make the deal with Philly, but only after we knew it was number one. Like, up until that point, Ainge couldn't really do anything. No one knew. So, to me, those picks don't have as much value until you know where they're going to be.
Continue with your calls at 617-779-0985. Steve in the car. Hi, Steve.
Yeah. Why is this year's draft better than next year's? You say that every single year. Oh, this is the best draft that's coming up. Every year I hear that. The other thing is why are we talking about trading Kyrie or Jaylen Brown? Why isn't Horford's name on the table? He makes $30 million, and he's like a fourth roster player. There's no point in having him on the team at that salary.
Okay, the reason you don't talk about him is because the Spurs would say the same thing.
Right, you just answered your own question.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just answered your own question. So, you know, now look, the draft thing, I hear you. Okay, I do. I hear you. Oh, yeah, this draft's awesome. Okay, look, it is. Most of the time, it's hot air. I'm telling you, in this case, I believe it. This draft to me has been hyped for about 2 years. It's a big man draft. You have a lot of guys up there. It feels like five, six, maybe even seven or eight players that are up at the top of the draft, the large majority of which are big men. And there are no big men in the game anymore. Now, will they all be good? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, it'd be ridiculous to think all these big guys are all of a sudden going to be impact players in the league. But next year's draft, from what I understand, again, I picked up the phone and I asked people who both watch college basketball and work in the NBA. Okay? So that work in both leagues, or both. And I'm told that next year's draft doesn't even come close. It's a couple of players at the top. There's no LeBron, and that's it. This year... You get some players at the
There's
top.
There's no LeBron this year either.
Well,
there
right.
was more buzz the last couple of years for Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz, and now this year for number one, it's, yeah, I guess DeAndre Ayton. Like, I don't know. It feels like a lot of hype to me.
I don't know. I feel like Ayton's been hyped for a couple of years. I mean, we started talking
about... He couldn't get past Buffalo in the first round of the tournament.
I know, but big men typically are a little bit slower, and he's got ability. He's got ability. So now, to me, I know this. I would want to be in this draft. And I think the Celtics want to be in it, too.
And so that's interesting. You know, Sacramento's pick next year is less valuable to you because of that. But does the league feel the same way? Next year's draft picks, even if it's a real high one, don't have the value of this one because it's not the same kind of draft. And Murray, I'm with you. I don't know. You would know more than me. Maz is just talking about what the people say in basketball. We're not Adam Jones with our pants off and a basketball right. on top of our heads. I can tell you about every, you know, two guard.
Marvin Bagley's the guy.
In the whack.
Well,
right?
how much... hype did Markelle Fultz get last year leading into the draft? Have to take him number one. Can't miss prospect. He can't shoot.
So what are you saying, Jimmy?
I'm saying that sometimes these prognosticators are just totally over the top, and they don't know what they're talking about as far as college player translating to the NBA game.
But you should absolutely factor in my biases when it comes to this and beyond.
Big guys.
Yeah, I like big guys. I do. I do like big guys. And there aren't many of them in the game anymore. And if you can get a guy that can protect the rim and just give you something remotely half decent on the other end, you get a player.
Okay, I'm going to give you we'll continue with these calls on this all day long. We'll do a lot of this today.
I mean, Fultz lost to Yale last year.
That's true. And he can't shoot now in the NBA. Is that a cautionary tale to the kid who just lost to Buffalo? We'll continue with this all day. I want to give you a Bruins minute coming up next. A bona fide goal scorer moved today in the league. Twice. A bona fide goal scorer in his 20s. Was traded today for peanuts twice. Should the Bruins have been in on him? We discussed right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll be right back.
Hockey Minute for you. We'll get back to your phones. You might have heard of this really ugly story up in Ottawa between Mike Hoffman, who's a winger there for the Senators, and Erik Karlsson, who just happens to be one of the best defensemen in the league, if not the best. Won the Norris, I think, last year. With their wives and girlfriends. You want to just encapsulate real quick their mess?
Sure, yeah. The short story is this, that Karlsson and his wife either had a stillborn child or a child that died shortly after birth. And there was a great Twitter outpouring of support for them, except there was an account on Twitter that was vicious towards Karlsson's wife. And at one point said that part of the reason the baby died is because she was popping painkillers. And apparently there was other harassment of the like on Twitter regarding other issues, and they traced it back to Hoffman's girlfriend.
So just ugly, ugly stuff.
I mean, like the Brian Colangelo Twitter thing with the Sixers that everyone sort of followed, similar, except it was the wives.
Just, and worse.
Yeah. I mean, way worse.
I mean, getting after a gal who just lost her child.
Correct.
You know? So ugly, bad, bad stuff. With the girlfriend and the wife. Okay, not the players, the girlfriend and the wife getting into this thing. So Mike Hoffman was traded today twice. He was first traded to San Jose for a winger who scores about 12 goals a year and plays about 13 minutes a night. The pronunciation is, I'm not exactly sure. Is it Boedeker?
No, Michael Boedeker.
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 Michael Boedeker, who is a former top 10 pick and makes decent money at $4 million a year, but is really, you know, just sort of evolved into a role player and probably a big disappointment.
Yeah, he was a top 10 pick 10 years ago.
10 years ago, in 08. He was the 8th overall pick in 08, but that was 10 years ago, and it feels like he's just fallen into being a third, fourth line kind of guy. Overpaid at that. So nothing. Probably someone San Jose was thrilled to get rid of. I don't know, I'm just guessing that. Someone who makes $4 million a year and scores in the teens every year?
Right.
I don't know. I wouldn't want that guy around much longer. So basically nothing. Roster filler. And then San Jose turned around a couple hours later and traded Hoffman to Florida for a second, a fifth, and a sixth, something like that. Just draft picks. So let's just call it a second-round pick. A second-round pick. Bruins fans, you've seen Mike Hoffman play here with the Senators, right, against the Bruins? The guy can snipe. The guy can score. He's never scored over 30, but he's always in the mid-20s. He scored 29 a couple years ago. He was in the 20s again this year. Makes $5 million, pretty decent chunk of change, but the guy's a legit goal-scoring top six winger. Scores in the 20s every year. Makes $5 million a year. He's only 28 years old. Be a perfect fit on the team. Perfect fit on the team. They're scrambling around trying to find someone to play with David Krejci. Now, he's a left wing, shoots left, so you've got Marchand, DeBrusk. So it's not exactly perfect. I don't know if you can play the off wing or anything like that. You can do that on your own time. But basically, he was given away. He was given away because of this mess with his girlfriend and Karlsson's wife. 28 years old, last 4 years, scored 27, 29, 26, and 22 goals. $5.2 million a year, signed this year and next. Should the Bruins have been in on him?
No. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but no. I think the girlfriend's a nut. I think she's a nut.
So
now, if you tell
so
me,
our teams should now stay away from not just questionable characters, but questionable characters of their girlfriends.
Depends on how bad. Depends on how bad. This one feels bad to me. Again, to go on like Twitter and an anonymous account and harass a woman who just lost a child
seems about as bad as it gets.
Oh, that is brutal.
So they deny it. The Hoffmans deny it.
Okay, she feels like a psycho to me. And I just think that is introducing problems in your locker room, because it won't be long before she's, you know, taking on something with someone else's wife or another player on the team. Like, you know, it just problem. No, I can't believe I'm saying that, because I usually
why?
Say,
no, this is a hard one. I mean, this is like, I think all of our reactions is no.
But I usually believe in buying good talent cheap.
Yeah, but those NHL locker rooms, you know, are so close-knit. I mean, the whole league basically is. This guy's too toxic to touch with this story. I mean, no crime was committed, but you can't bring this guy in right now. To a team that, to me, looked like there is some sort of thing going on there in terms of...
Well, I think hockey is one sport where chemistry is sort of important. I always say character over chemistry. In hockey, you got to want to fight for each other. That's really a part of it. I mean, there's exceptions.
Patrick Sharp with the Blackhawks was apparently running around, and there's all sorts of rumors about him and wives and blah, blah, blah. And he ultimately got shipped out of there, but I think they won some championships in the meantime. And Patrick Kane, like, don't get started on Patrick Kane. That guy's a menace to society. Roll him up. Patrick Kane's in town. And they won. They won at a high level. So there's no absolutes. And Hoffman came so cheap.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a good deal.
So cheap. Second round pick for a guy who scores around 30 goals. 28 years old.
Would you do it?
No. I couldn't because I don't have the guts. Like, I'd be, meaning if I were the team, do I really want to put up with this? It's good value. I should be able to look past the nuttiness of the girlfriend, but I want to invite this onto my team now and invite this scrutiny and have to answer these questions and put this on my coach and my players. I'm going to pass because I'm chicken. You know, like, I just wouldn't want to do it.
See,
I mean, this team has already showed you in the past, and granted, it was a different GM at the time, but if certain things are to be believed, if you screw over another teammate, you got to go, in the case of Tyler Seguin.
Okay, this guy didn't do it, though. Mike Hoffman wasn't sleeping around on the team. Like, it was his nutty girlfriend.
Yeah, she never said anything while they were hanging out about how she didn't like Eric Carlson's wife. You think she was just silent about that and only did this thing on her own? Now, he didn't go there. I don't think he tweeted anything, but he had knowledge of it. You can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah, I just think that stuff, you end up crossing personal with professional, right? And then it gets too uncomfortable and too ugly. And so, look, again, if we're telling stories, there was a story a year ago about a guy in the Phillies who his wife caught him cheating and then said, well, all the other guys on the team are doing it. And she called all the other wives, and they had to trade his ass out.
He was on the Cardinals, not the Phillies.
Well, I was
that happened in St. Louis.
Okay, I thought it was Philadelphia.
And then where'd he go? Here.
You know.
So I just blew up your spot. It's okay. I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit. Like, I wouldn't do it either at the end of the day because it's just too hot, too toxic, and too ugly what happened there. And just why would you invite that scrutiny onto your team? In Florida, maybe you get away with it because...
Who cares?
Right. No one puts any pressure on that team anyway or any attention on that team. You did it at a place like this, it'd be hard. But I'm curious. And maybe Ottawa also said, well, we have to ditch this guy, but we're not sending him to our division rival, even though Florida's in their division too now. But they didn't send him to Florida. They sent him to San Jose first. You know, get the hell out of here. Go to the other conference in the other part of the country. And then San Jose turned around and traded him to Florida. So maybe Ottawa wouldn't deal with you in the first place. I don't know. Would San Jose have? Would you have, how far do you go to hold the actions of a girlfriend against the player? And I don't know. I just, when you brought up the Mike Hoffman thing, that's the first thing I thought of. Boy, that was cheap. And he can play.
No, listen, I'm all for getting good talent. And generally speaking, I would say guy's got a, he's got a drug problem or he's got this or that. And, sometimes you bite the bullet. Like, no, you take a chance. That's a guy worth taking a chance on.
But the girlfriend.
I know. I think that's worse.
Worse than him doing it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, stop it.
No. When I say, no, you misunderstood me. If he had actually done it himself, I would say no.
Okay,
not in a million years.
Right.
I'm saying, but problems between guy teammates, I think a lot of times you can sort that out. A lot of times you can sort that out. Okay, we're on the same side now.
The wives? Forget about it.
Oh, God, no shot. No shot.
It's really not a laughing matter, what went on there in Ottawa. I don't mean to, I'm not making light of that in any way.
I just think once you start introducing, wives and girlfriends and women into the equation, then it becomes personal and it gets a lot harder for guys.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing it.
There's your Bruins Minute. Just a thought. You can weigh in on it if you like. Right back to your phones after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Offseason started. Once the game was over, offseason started. Who's signing an extension? Who? And like, it's just like the Warriors just won the chip.
The offseason started today with this Kawhi story. We had about
the off season.
We had a week.
The off season started at All Star break.
What does that mean? Well, with the texting and
the All Star break,
the buttering up.
Yeah, All Star break. It started.
So you're a believer.
In what?
In the players. Hey man. Hey. What about this summer?
No, I think we all have great relationships. Redirect. can't keep, I don't want to get caught for tampering or.
All right.
Kyrie just gave Simmons a good nugget. He didn't even understand what was going on. So you're saying you buy into that? Yeah, he just told you.
No, I think we all have great relationships.
No. Right, no. Oh, so you guys tamper? Jesus, Bill. He just told you. He told you free agency starts All-Star Weekend. What do you think he meant?
Apparently, there wasn't that section in the book of basketball.
No, and I don't mean to keep ragging on Simmons, but this is like, you, whatever. Okay, like, he just told you. He just told you the score. You don't need to then say, oh, so you guys tamper?
And what?
In the players, hey, man. Hey, what about this summer?
He just told you, Bill. He just said it. Free agency starts All-Star Weekend. That's what he said. That's you got it. Okay, you got it. That was a great quote. That was the only thing that was maybe interesting in that thing was that.
He cleared his throat like you do when you're talking about PEDs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Murray, we should do a podcast with Kyrie. Yeah, Kyrie, like, do you want to stay here?
All right, so all the NBA stuff, you want to weigh in on that Hockey Minute? By all means, whatever you got. Here is Nick in Northbridge on the draft. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? A couple quick thoughts, and I'll let you talk. Anyone passing on Doncic is dumb. The kid's the second best. He's the best player in the second best league. He's 18. That said, I think the Kings are smokescreen. I think they're going to take him at 2. Shouldn't stop the Celtics from trading into the top 8, though. Only thing this team's missing for the future is a cost-controlled big man. I think we send anything. No one in the starting five, send any picks, send Rozier, send Smart, Morris, whatever. And then look for Jackson, Bamba, or Carter. Let Al Horford mentor him. We'll be good to go.
Okay. There's some good draft chatter there all over my head. I'm not that interested in moving up to 8 because I just don't. Like, if you're in love with this Doncic kid, I'll take your word for it. You're Danny Ainge. You're hot. You know, you've been hot at the draft here the last couple of years. So I'll take your word for it. You think this is the next big thing and you want to put all your chips into the table to go up and go, you know, give up all your picks next year and even Rozier and Morris to go get this guy, fine. But to go to 8? No. Like, I don't trust. So, like, what are you getting at 8?
Well, so look, again, you
what
know.
What sure thing are you getting at 8 that everyone's passing on?
You're probably not getting a sure thing at 8. I mean, to me, again, the line's at about 6.
If you want to tell me that Doncic is slipping to the 4-5 range because teams are stupid, okay. You can convince me on, you know, 2, 3, 4 teams being stupid. You can't convince me on 8. Like, you're not getting that guy at 8.
So no, a bunch no of different publications have Doncic either going at 3 or 7, like somewhere in that range. So that's the goal of the Celtics, I believe, is to get to the pick where they can get Doncic, wherever that is.
I mean, look, obviously you wait until draft night, you see what happens and whether or not the guy slides, and then, you know, can you make a deal? But again, I'm not totally convinced it's him or nothing. I think, you know, see, again, there is value in having a big man on the defensive end of the floor. I think we saw some of that with Baines. As minimal, you know, as limited as he is, he had value to them on the defensive end of the floor. And I think if that kind of guy's there, they'd be interested in getting him.
Jamie in Boston called us early on a Patriots issue. I don't want to leave you hanging there all day, Jamie. Go ahead. What do you got on the Pats?
What about us?
Hey. I was thinking what your guys' take is on the Edelman suspension and how it might affect the first 4 games of the season and maybe our playoff contention. Thank you.
Okay, Jamie, you really want to call Adam Jones starting at 7 o'clock at 617-779-0985. If they're not a playoff team, then we've really got an issue on our hands.
Patriots?
Yeah, they're a playoff team.
Oh, no.
I mean, Brady could get hit by a bus. Oh, you know, God bless. I mean, he could get hurt tomorrow and be done for the year. And you're going 10-6 and winning the division with Brian Hoyer.
No shot,
Murray. Yes, you are. 10-6 division win with Brian Hoyer. So there's no way they're not a playoff team. The question is, what are they once they get there? Have they suffered enough hits along the way? Where are they on the road now in the AFC title game? Or at the worst, are they playing on Wild Card Weekend? Like the last time you did that was a decade ago, but like I think that's the parameters. They're not going to not make the playoffs.
I mean, look, it's still a ways off, but I think it's set up for them to struggle a little at the beginning. As of right now, I can change my mind depending on how camp goes and who knows what else. Like maybe personnel changes in some capacity. Who has an idea? And if Brady got hit by a bus, Please. We all know he'd survive. No problem. Between the avocado ice cream and Guerrero and
he's very pliable.
Piece of cake. He'd bounce right off and be there for week one.
He knows how to hit the ground now. He does. It's true. He absorbs those hits better than anyone.
I'm not worried about that at all.
Ryan in the truck. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. So, Maz, the other day you said you would trade Benintendi or Devers for Machado and Britt, even if it meant there was no guarantee that Manny would re-sign with the Sox.
Right.
So, and then today you said you would only trade Kyrie for Kawhi if you get assurance from Kawhi to sign with the Celtics long term. So, I guess basically, what's the difference? Isn't that kind of a contradiction, even though it's two different sports?
Okay, Ryan, thank you for the call. Why don't you start with that last part? Let me just go first, Matt, because people do this all the time. Why do you care about the NHL salary cap, Felger? I thought the cap was crap. I'm not talking about the hockey cap. I'm talking about the football cap. They're two different things. So when Maz says something about a baseball trade and where the Red Sox are at their place, why would you apply it to where the Celtics are in their league with their roster and their parameters and their league rules versus base? They're two different things.
Right. Two teams are two different futures.
God!
So why? Because the Red Sox future is totally different than the Celtics future. That's why. So, like, to me, it's that simple. The Red Sox have a small window. The Celtics don't. End of discussion. It's all based on that. So, beyond that...
Apples and oranges.
Yeah, I don't think... I hate those kinds of things. Why would you do it in this sport versus that sport? Because the situations aren't the same. That's why. And if you have a hard time seeing that, then that's your problem.
Million reasons. Different sports. Apples and oranges. Can't compare. But Maz does have some crazy trade ideas. He does, in all different sports. There's one that was thrown out today on ESPN that I want your thoughts on. It hits on two players that are pretty close to your heart. So we'll get to that right after Murray's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.